Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
A fired Philadelphia police officer who had pleaded guilty to third-degree murder for the shooting of a 12-year-old boy who had fired upon officers was sentenced yesterday in court to spend at least 8 years in prison. This is Edsel Mendoza, 5-year veteran of the force, who was fired a week after that shooting that happened in 2022, pleading guilty to third-degree murder this past spring in the shooting of Thomas T.J. Sedario. So former officer Mendoza saying in court he felt sorrow and regret just before he was sentenced. The judge sentenced him 8 to 20 years, so he'll serve at least 8. He originally was charged with first and third degree murder as well as voluntary manslaughter, but agreed to this plea deal. And I have not yet seen the former officer speaking out, but prosecutors saying that the 12-year-old boy, you may remember this case, was on the ground unarmed when Mendoza then fired that fatal shot into his back. Police say the 12-year-old had first fired a shot at an unmarked police car, injuring one of those four plainclothes officers inside. You may recall the story. We talked a lot about it at the time because the shattering glass as well as an injured police officer made this officer believe at the time that his fellow officer had been shot. And so, like I say, those four plainclothes officers inside were injured at the time. But in this case, he has pleaded guilty to third degree murder. And Edsel Mendoza, once a 5-year veteran of the police force, now facing 8 years behind bars.
This occurred during the beginning of our show, correct? I vaguely remember this. Was this before or after October of 2022?
I think it happened that earlier that summer.
Okay. For some reason, I do recall this, and I remember asking myself the question, even though you're in an unmarked vehicle, I thought police officer vehicles had bulletproof glass. I guess not in this case, in this situation, but I remember reading about this, and that was one of the first things that popped up into my head.
Yeah, at the time, it was heavily debated because it was dark. The officer was on a special detail.
Yeah.
And nobody knew, obviously, the age of the 12-year-old at the time. And so many thought, you know, this officer had a right to exchange gunfire, to fire back, and to pursue this armed and dangerous individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think the investigation then did show, according to the authorities, that once the kid was down, stop firing.
Yeah.
I think that was the final shot was the one that they're talking about.
Got it.
And so he at the end of the day, the former officer, you know, he pleaded guilty to it and spoke in court at length. Look, everybody in court was in tears, and everyone in court by all accounts says this was a tragic situation any way you look at it.
Yeah. No question.
So, I will say the 12-year-old at the time, his father was in prison. And so we had talked about that at the time, that, he was being raised by his grandparents.
Yeah.
Just a tragic story.
Fathers, they're kind of important in a kid's life.
Yes, sir. Just a follow up on a story I talked a lot about yesterday, at the West Philadelphia block party that led to that mass shooting. It was my lead story yesterday morning, 24 hours ago, and Mayor Sherelle Parker speaking out about this. And this is in which three people are dead, including two brothers, six others injured, some still hospitalized this morning as I speak, sparked by an argument that had turned violent. And Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker, among others, speaking out, talking about the fact that you're just not allowed to turn any Philadelphia street or block party into the wild, wild west, talking about this shootout and saying that it will not go unpunished.
Okay. You know, actually, I think it was at the second or the third rest stop on Sunday, one Philadelphia police officer came up to me and introduced himself to me, and I won't give the numerical precinct that he is with, and we chatted for like 2 minutes, and I said, hey, what's the morale like right now with Sherelle Parker? And he said, quote, it's better than it has been in the past, and he left it at that. So.
Okay.
For what that's worth.
Yeah, well, I guess that's
pretty low bar, but, you know.
I know that Commissioner Kevin Bethel was speaking out, other city leaders providing some updates on this. This one saying there were more than 100 people in attendance in that West Philadelphia block party Sunday when shots rang out. At least 36 rounds were fired throughout that incident, just terrifying the entire neighborhood. So they're speaking out about it, saying, you know, they're going to hold everybody accountable as well. They said that the organizers for the gathering did not get a city permit. That helps police officers know when there's a particularly large gathering and they can provide some security.
Yeah, I think my invite got lost in the mail.
Nikhail.
Must have been the address change. Darn it.
Oh, my goodness. It's all a local story for us, what is happening, because transpiring yesterday, happening in Wilmington, Delaware, right? In Delaware, where Joe Biden continues to recover. And after President Joe Biden's decision to drop out of the presidential race on Sunday, wow, that was fast. Vice President Kamala Harris emerging as the party favorite to replace him at the top of the ticket. She spoke out, held a news conference yesterday locally from Wilmington, Delaware, from the party headquarters, as well took a phone call from Biden. Some of the headlines here, they say that she's raised at least $100 million, that from the campaign, saying that she already has secured enough delegates to become the presumptive nominee
in one day
for the Democrats.
In one day.
They were reporting yesterday that she hoped to have it locked up by Wednesday evening, and then I wake up this morning and I see it's already in the bag.
Yeah, she has enough delegates to secure the nominee.
Democracy, baby.
The nomination.
And so with Joe Biden, he's expected, he extended his stay in Delaware a bit longer, but is expected, I believe, later this afternoon. However, putting off the meeting, obviously, with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is here to address Congress, and as well Netanyahu meeting with families of the hostages still held hostage since last October 7th.
Wow. We're coming up on, that's what, 9 months? August, September?
Almost a year.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm sure it feels like a century for those victims' families.
Indeed.
And so so they're calling on this. It does not look like Kamala Harris is saying, due to other engagements.
She's busy that day.
She's busy that day. Thank you. So she will not be presiding over any of these meetings with Benjamin Netanyahu, which perhaps spares her from the political look of the situation when you think of, right? When you think of Michigan, when you think of Minnesota, and the Democrats have been strategic at this time.
I mean, we will get to that specific angle that you're talking about around 6:40. I have a clip from Bill King on CNN. Where do you hear this in regards to Josh Shapiro?
John King, dude.
Why do I always say King?
I don't know.
Dana Bash's ex. Mr.
I like
talk
that.
Quickly at the board and Dana's go through the charts. I cannot figure that out for the life of me.
Yeah, and there's
that
a lot.
That trips me up every time.
Josh Shapiro speaking out about Kamala Harris. There's so much to get to today. Our heads are spinning.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. It happens so fast. Phil's, unfortunately, lost in Minneapolis 7-2 and taking on Minnesota again this evening. So we're kind of in a funk.
Yeah,
for a Philadelphia Phillies.
I'm just so excited. I have YouTube TV now because it's so cheap.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
We've been telling you.
And I've
for 2 years, we've been telling you.
And I've got NBC Sports Philadelphia, so I no longer have to watch the Phillies on my laptop, because when I had Dish at my old apartment, it was blacked out. You had to pay for the MLB ticket extra inning package thing. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. It's unbelievable. I love YouTube TV. Somebody get me an endorsement. I would love to promote that. I'm flipping through the... By the way, I couldn't figure out how to turn the remote on last night. Called my wife when she was at Dance with the Girls. I'm like, hey, how do you turn this YouTube remote on? I'm like, where's my clicker?
You can use your phone.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'll catch up on that
this
weekend.
You can use your phone.
All right.
Wait a minute. You have a special remote for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? We have YouTube TV through one of those Apple remotes and the little Apple box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can also do it on your phone.
Yeah. So I'm used to the old school remote. Yeah, I like the clicker.
Like I think I have my teenage boys to give Nick a few lessons. I learn everything from them.
You're so old, man. It's unbelievable. I'm used to my old clicker. I don't like this newfangled technology.
Yep.
It's about 20 years old.
Saturday when we're hooking it up, I'm like, so does this YouTube TV, does it buffer? Is it in real time or am I on a delay?
Oh, my God.
Trying to get all these answers.
Oh, this is hysterical.
Make an informed purchase.
Hysterical, sad. Same thing, Don.
Whatever word you would like.
Before I get to our Wawa Hoagie Fest sponsor, just real quick, the forecast this morning. So 88 degrees today, sun comes out. We could see soaking rain at some point much later this evening as we clear out from the overnight rain. Tomorrow for your Wednesday, 86 degrees. At Wednesday and Thursday, 86 degrees with a chance for those scattered showers and T-storms. That tees us up for a stunning Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, 86 degrees, lower humidity. Saturday, 88, mostly sunny. And then, just in time for next week, we start on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're back into the 90s as, yes, we heat up once again. So enjoy the 80s, and we needed this rain for sure. And we need Wawa, our sponsor. Summertime's here. It's Hoagie Fest. Get $5 shorties, $6 classics, always built to order with meals. So cheeses, all the veggies you love. Get your favorite hot or cold hoagie. Get the Jason, get the Kylie, get the sweet honey ham, or try something new only at Wawa Hoagie Fest.
Wawa Hoagie Fest.
Hoagie Fest, not Hoctua, Hoagie Fest. Better than Hoctua.
How dare they?
Oh,
my
Lord. Sorry.
What a show. Let's just wrap up right now.
That's Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Cheadle caught the secret disservice to Donald Trump. If you didn't know already, it was crystallized for you Monday on Capitol Hill. The government is almost never held accountable. And anytime an elected or appointed federal employee or official testifies on the Hill and says they're here to answer all questions, expect a bunch of lip service, scripted replies, and anything but an actual answer, much less the truth. These low-life, corrupt hacks get put in a position of power, have their salaries funded by us, the taxpayers, and then look down at you and treat you with disrespect, arrogance, and zero responsibility for their actions or lack thereof. Prime example, Kimberly Cheadle, director of the Secret Service. I said yesterday on Kale and Company that I wanted her verbally undressed for the epic failures that she and her staff failed to address that led to Donald Trump darn near being killed. Will she be fired? Will she resign? No and no. But I certainly got my pound of flesh yesterday. And in a stunning development, it came from both sides of the political aisle. As Republican rep from Tennessee, Tim Burchett said, "Ma'am, you're, quote, a DEI horror story." They also went on to say, quote, "Go back to protecting Doritos." With that, we were off to the races. Nancy Mace of South Carolina took the first swipe at Kimberly Cheadle and did not hold back. Listen and watch this.
Was this a colossal failure?
It was a failure.
Yes or no? Was it a colossal failure is the question. Yes or no?
I have admitted this is a terrible.
This is a yes or no series of questions. Was this a colossal failure? Yes or no?
Yes.
Was this tragedy preventable? Yes or no?
Yes.
Has the Secret Service been transparent with this committee?
Yes.
Would you say the fact that we had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today as being transparent, yes or no?
I have always been
yes or no. You didn't want to answer the question.
Committee.
We had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today. That is not transparent, by the way. You stated earlier Secret Service is not political. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's Playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political? Yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that's...
For those who wonder what was just bleeped out there, two letters, BS, a colossal and preventable occurrence. Right then and there, Cheadle should have resigned or been terminated. She has one job, uno, one, singular, one job, and she can't do it remotely effectively. But she comes in there very arrogant, conceited, and oh, by the way, via subpoena. Next up, Andy Biggs of Arizona on whether there was a second shooter. Ms. Cheadle, listen and watch.
It is unfathomable that a 20-year-old on the radar of Secret Service and local law enforcement before President Trump went on stage was able to climb onto the roof of a building with a rifle and fire off multiple rounds before he was neutralized. Was Mr. Crooks acting alone?
Again, I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation.
Was he just a lone gunman?
I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation for motive.
We are only about halfway through my big take, and I will say this right now. It looks more and more likely that this was a setup. I would characterize it like this and coin it very probable. You can quote me on that. But enough of Kimberly for a few moments. We'll get back to her. Let's get to an actual expert, shall we? That would be Navy SEAL sniper Eli Crane, who is now a GOP rep from Arizona. Mr. Crane went to the rooftop himself and had this to share. Listen and watch.
All right, guys, I'm up here on the building where the supposed sniper took his shot. It's not that steep at all. Just had a 70-year-old man back here climb up on the roof easily. See that water tower behind me? Had Secret Service or anybody had sniper teams up there, this guy wouldn't have made it 5 feet up this roof. He would have been taken out. Behind me, you see the windows that Secret Service was supposedly in the second floor of this building behind. Makes you wonder why they weren't able to quickly dispatch the individual. And then behind me, back over here where those red roofs are, that's where the stage was set up. That's where the president was giving his speech from. A lot of questions here in Butler. But we look forward to doing oversight and getting to the bottom of it and making sure it never happens again.
Not a steep slope. Elderly man, age 70, not deterred by the degree of difficulty to set up shop. Look at that footage. I honestly think I could have secured the perimeter myself after spending 2 hours on those grounds much better than Kimberly Cheadle and her inept staff did. Why was the water tower unattended? Why was the rooftop unattended? Now watch this angle, as you'll see the video of where Secret Service should have been, which would have provided them a direct view of the sniper, and they could have wiped out this scumbag in 3 seconds. There's not much audio to this, but if you're watching on YouTube, check this out. Listen and watch. Agents and authorities inside of an office looking out of that window with the roof right in front of them, merely feet away from where the would-be assassin was laying. This is incompetence and ineptitude in the highest degree of the highest order. Trump being sent out there to be killed is about the only conclusion you can arrive at, because you can't defend all of the failed mistakes by this administration, by the Secret Service. This wasn't mall security. This was the Secret Service. And it's so bad that even AOC is unloading on Kimberly Cheadle. Yes, that AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the person who once called Donald Trump a neo-Nazi. Here's the insane Squad Dem member finally uttering something that makes sense. Listen and watch this.
Director Cheadle, respectfully, what you had just laid out about 60 days, we are currently in the midst of an especially concentrated presidential campaign in the moment. That is also paired with, of course, elections happening across the country. They're happening in about 100 days. So the notion of a report coming out in 60 days when the threat environment is so high in the United States, irrespective of party, is not acceptable. And I think it's very important to understand that. This is not theater. This is not about jockeying. This is about the safety of some of the most highly targeted and valued targets internationally and domestically in the United States of America. So the idea that a report will be finalized in 60 days, let alone prior to any actionable decisions that would be made, is simply not acceptable.
If theater major AOC body bags you in front of her own Democrat colleagues as you are a DEI hire and the whole nation sees it, I'm sorry, you need to go. You need to be fired. I wouldn't trust this lady to protect the vending machine in the Odyssey kitchen 12 yards down the hall from me right now. And now for the finishing touches. Claims of perjury, where they catch her in a lie. Here's Anna Paulina Luna, who pulls no punches when grilling Cheadle. Listen and watch.
It seems as though that when you were asked earlier from Rep. Kristen Morthy about whether or not Secret Service was aware of a threat, you had said no, they were unaware of a threat. And yet, according to communications, again, from law enforcement that were in some of these group chats, they actually had reported that Secret Service was made aware of a threat at around 5:59 p.m. as a part of the command, including Secret Service, aware of messages and requests about information about the suspect's location. Can you please tell me if you have knowledge of that at all?
Again, I think we're conflating the difference between the term threat and suspicious.
But you guys did have knowledge at 5:59 p.m. according to those group chats, did you not?
Of a suspicious individual.
Okay. Chairman, in my opinion, according to some of the testimony today, I feel that you have perjured yourself in some instances. And so I'm going to ask for a full review of the transcripts by staff. And if you find that to be the case, I do ask that you bring perjury charges against the director. I will say this, it is very frustrating, and I've talked to my colleagues and we've said it to your face, that you have been up here basically stonewalling our ability to get the answers to the American people. And what I will also say is that every single member of Congress does not feel safe with you in charge. You have heard that, and I think that we are all sitting ducks with you in directing the Secret Service currently. But more importantly, it sends a message to our adversaries that we are not protected, and we are one of the strongest countries in the world, so you have essentially made us a less safe country because of it.
5:59 p.m. Trump was shot at 6:13 p.m. Would Joe Biden have been sent out there with 14 minutes to be killed? Would Kamala Harris? Would Dr. Jill? Brett Kavanaugh, lucky to be alive. Donald Trump, lucky to be alive. We have gamers on Discord chatting about the, quote, cleansing of conservatives. So let me be real and cut right to the chase. Who's really under attack in the last 4 years? Is it DEI hires? Is it the LGBTQ community? Is it far-left Democrats and progressives? Or is it Republicans, conservatives, and anybody that there says they're MAGA? And why are you so afraid of opposing views and dissenting voices? Isn't that the essence of the democracy that you claim to protect? This lady does not deserve to be in charge of the Secret Service. Fire her immediately. But they won't. Why? Because her job is to go before House Republicans in America and take the verbal bullets from those who want answers. Unfortunately, Donald Trump has taken real bullets, and he uttered this great line Saturday night in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Listen and watch.
They keep saying he's a threat to democracy. I'm saying, what the hell did I do for democracy? Last week, I took a bullet for democracy. What did I do against democracy? Crazy.
Crazy indeed. And that's the big take.
The big take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 at 1210 WPHT on social media. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get everybody's thoughts and reactions to what transpired on the Hill yesterday. And then we will delve into Kamala Harris securing the Democratic nomination as we continue Kale and Company Tuesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
When you have Republicans like Nancy Mace and AOC essentially on the same page. You know, it's very interesting that there's very little things that can unite Americans, but Kimberly Cheadle has found a way to do so. It's a staggering concept, and I know this was playing out, Dawn, on your show in real time, right off of the top, essentially. Your thoughts as you were delivering this in real time to the audience that might have missed it or were out after this show, what did you think of the way both sides of the aisles basically grilled her and made sure that she was well done?
I thought that looking at it, and we carried pieces of it live, so okay. We were monitoring it, and what I came away with was thinking about the Secret Service, that I thought, wow, this is an elite law enforcement group. I remember back in the day, I had worked with somebody who his goal, even though he was in journalism, his goal was to work in the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
That was the ultimate. And he talked about how this is this elite force and how tough it is to get this job. And these are the best of the best, the cream of the crop.
In Hollywood, you wear the black jacket with the black shades, you know? Like Tommy Lee and Will Smith and Men in Black.
And so I thought, this individual represents a law enforcement agency that is considered the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's just embarrassing. And the world sees this. It's not just us as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
This is on display now for the world to see. So I thought that she just, in her demeanor, she came off as, first, she was not an impressive individual.
Nope.
The fact that she didn't have everything buttoned up. So either you do your prep and you have the answers, or you push something off or something. You don't come in there and just say, it's a colossal failure. Well,
completely
what we have here.
Yep.
Yes. She just came off as unprofessional.
And almost defiant, right?
I don't even know. I just think that she came off as like, I'm an idiot. I failed. Oops. Sorry.
Don't. Yeah, and Homer Simpson.
You know, imagine you're Helen Comparator from here in Pennsylvania. You're the widow of Corey, who was just buried her husband of 20-plus years, or Corey Comparator's daughters, who he saved heroically. Imagine you're them.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching this thinking, really? You're in charge? Now, I know that they filed some articles of impeachment to force her to be booted out of her job, but, you know, this is just, to me, it's on display that this is Joe. Apparently, Jill Biden liked her, too, and they were BFFs, whatever. This is the incompetence of an administration that put not just a former president in danger, but 55-plus thousand people who could have. I mean, this kid apparently had IEDs, he could have blown people up. So this is an epic failure of this administration.
I just don't buy the fact that this was this big of a failure. I'm with you.
Greg, she couldn't even answer the question. Was he a lone wolf? She couldn't even answer. Now people are saying, oh my God, is there another
shooter? You're yelling without me having heard what I was going to say.
I'm not yelling.
You're jumping down my throat. What I'm saying,
nowhere near your throat.
What I'm saying is that there's just too much here for me to think. I mean, this woman is a decades long government employee, decades long. So for me to think, this slipped through the cracks and that slipped through the cracks and oops, we forgot to put somebody up. Like, I'm getting messages from people who have done work like this or have done work overseas in the military. And everybody says the first thing they would have done is put their best people up on that roof, mm-hmm. that roof specifically.
Yep.
So for me to sit here and think that this is just we tried. And, sometimes stuff falls through the cracks. I'm just not buying it.
But, Greg, Department of Homeland Security officials, which were present because they were thin-staffed skeleton crew for the Secret Service, maybe they're not qualified and trained to climb a water tower.
The problem with yesterday's hearing, and I did watch most of it. I had I have all the clips from yesterday, too. We got a lot of grandstanding. We got a lot of you know, bipartisan support for Cheadle to resign. But we didn't really get any answers.
Nope.
There was really nothing that came out of it. It's like, well, you know, do you use an encrypted phone? No, I do not use an encrypted phone. Are you sure you don't use it? Well, maybe I use an encrypted phone on my personal to communicate. And there's no recording of, like, there's just so much that came out of yesterday that I was just like, huh, mm-hmm. Is this an incompetent group? Or is there something more to this?
They're almost so incompetent that I can't use incompetence as the excuse, because I said it's one of two things. Either this is gross ineptitude, or this was a conspiracy theory to send Trump out to be assassinated. And I said in the Big Take, quote, I think it's highly probable that it was the latter, that they sent him out there to be executed. And you say, well, Nick Cale, how can you make such an irresponsible comment? I'm going to give you a little context here. This is from Fox News. Pennsylvania officers not allowed in Secret Service Command Center at the Trump rally, lawmakers say on site. I just want to read you three little paragraphs here, and this is how I've arrived at this conclusion. Local Pennsylvania police officers told members of Congress that they were not allowed into a Secret Service Command Center at Trump's rally in Butler, PA on July 13th. That is according to Tennessee Rep. Mark Green. Quote, normally, according to the local sheriff, they have done these events in the past with Secret Service and always had one of their people in that Secret Service control room. Apparently, that was not allowed this time for some reason. Now, Green, as an Army veteran, said that this is one example of miscommunication between local and federal law enforcement, adding that lawmakers are also working to get more information on the radios that law enforcement used to communicate on the day of that rally. And then you have this individual by the name of Mr. Morrow, who says he's the highest ranking member of specific agencies. They are posted at the command center, quote, because you have to make decisions, and sometimes they're hard decisions. This is going to have the final say on everything, and it usually falls on, quote, the Secret Service boss. The Secret Service is fully accountable for the safety of its protectees. And then lastly, Republican from Pennsylvania, Representative Mark Kelly says, quote, if there was an idea that there was somebody here that was suspect, why even allow President Trump to go up to the podium? And why did we go ahead and continue with the program? You heard Cheadle say that little word salad where she wanted to split words. Well, suspicious versus a threat are two different things. I don't want to hear your minutia and your context. If he's suspect, if he's suspicious, if he's got a bad haircut, if he's got a zit on his nose, I don't care. You could have waited for Trump to go out and delayed it a few minutes. They were already late, so to speak. So what's another 5, 10, or 15 minutes? Because I would take it to the bank that if it was a Democrat, if it was Biden, they would have waited an hour. They wouldn't send Joe out if there was a strong gust of wind, much less a suspicious individual. So there's protocols that were broken here. And why was the state law enforcement not allowed in that meeting room with Secret Service? I want answers to that.
Yeah, so the bottom line here is that this individual should be fired now. And Joe Biden and his administration, whoever's there, they should be fired November 5th. That's my bottom line on it. As far as to Greg's point, you have basically two options. Either you believe that they decided because they had just had NATO and the First Lady with 100 people with the Sisters of Italy in a mall, and Kamala here in Philadelphia speaking the same day Trump did with about 1,000 people, that they allegedly put more resources on other things and less focused or less experienced or little women on the Trump detail, whatever. Either you just believe that, or you believe that there was something else at play here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we have to get to the bottom of. Did they just not care about the security of Trump? Did they really? And that is difficult. That is a difficult pill for me to swallow, because I just believe, you know, to the point of those law enforcement officers who were saying, we can't even get in here. I think that law enforcement, we know, support Trump. I just, yeah. I mean,
it's interesting to me, too, that Trump himself mm-hmm. is not look, you know, right. calling for an investigation and looking for, you know, he did say something to Jesse Waters. We have the audio. We'll play it all throughout the program that he wants to, you know, there needs to be answers, but he didn't really come out and say. So I, you know, I go back to my question that I said the other day, last week. What's the better outcome here? Is it that the Secret Service is this inept that we allow something like this to happen? Or is it something more sinister? Like what's the better outcome?
But the bottom line is you must have a professional who heads the department, who is an impressive, brilliant person and a great manager. She is not a great manager.
Nope.
She has failed in her job. She needs to step down or be fired right now.
Yeah, and Joe Biden still has the power to do that. Joe Biden could fire her right now at this moment if he wanted to. So I know he's, quote, out of the race and he's going to be out in a few months. But Mr. Unity, you want to, you know what, up the ante and enhance. And by the way, this is bipartisan. I don't want this to happen to a Democrat president or former president. The president or the former president of the United States. And Don, you made a great point. We are being looked at. So when Trump says we're a joke nationally, and we've never been more vulnerable, the southern border, we can't protect our president. We've got multiple wars going on. I mean, if you ever wanted to just steamroll the United States based on a religious ideology or with nuclear weapons or in, you know, go to war, traditional combat style, now's the time. Because we look like a joke almost in every department where you're supposed to be buttoned up. The I's are dotted, T's are crossed. This is just embarrassing. I hate to just keep bloviating about it, but my God, fire her, you know what, now.
Yes, sir.
She stinks.
Yeah, and just on the international stage also, I think it's embarrassing that all this hot mess is going on politically. And Netanyahu's here. He's meeting with Trump, thank God. But it's embarrassing to me that here he's, you know, they've just endured what they've endured after the October 7th attacks. And now he's, you know, they're delaying with Biden. Trump is going to meet with him. But to me, that's an embarrassing look.
Yep.
One of our most important allies in the Middle East after they've been through literally hell and murder. And now this mess as he lands.
We'll get to your calls. We'll get to Kamala's big day, and we'll put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour next. You might not be secure with the Secret Service, but I can assure you, you are with the Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike, Chad's Ford. And I'm talking about the 2024 Tonale, which marks Alfa Romeo's entry into the world of electric vehicles. Yes, the Piazza Auto Group has done it yet again, and the Tonale offers three different customizable trim levels, each creating a perfect fit for every lifestyle, along with a technological ecosystem of integrated digital features like Amazon Alexa Voice, which ensures the best possible experience. You can lease a Tonale TI today with all-wheel drive for only $299 per month, for 24 months. Think about that. An Alfa Romeo for under $300 a month when you lease it for 24 months. Visit Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike and tell them that Nick sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
And you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
I'm just concerned that the local police there in Butler, those two guys, the one that boosted his buddy up under the roof, are getting absolutely no acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And given the timing I'm hearing, they probably did more to save the president's life than anybody. They distracted that shooter. He pointed the gun at one of them, even though he lost his grip and had to slide down. But it probably gave Trump just enough time to turn his head and not get himself killed.
Yeah,
so
I do.
They bash the police. You're always bashing them. Please, if you can, give them credit where credit is due. They deserve a medal.
Yeah, no, and you know I love police profoundly. I never bash police. It's sad because I think police did their part. And I do give credit to those Secret Service agents or whatever agents those were, Homeland Security, whoever dove on top of Trump, you know, the female that draped herself over him. Those people risk their lives, so they get credit. To me, it's Cheadle and anybody else that we don't know by name, the managers and all the higher-ups that have completely failed, not just Donald Trump. They have failed our country,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I mean, there's 74 million people that voted. You failed all of those people. And oh, by the way, you failed Democrats who that might hate Trump, but don't want to see his brains get blown out on television as well. Right.
Yes. did Ann just say we bash? You just rode 60 miles on a bicycle on Sunday.
I'm hoping she was referring to, like, you know, the media and Democrats.
I think because Nick just, you know, rode in an incredible families backing the badge over 60 miles raising. I mean, the money continues to come in, but raising a ton of money, six figures, you know, or they've raised, what, $1 million in total, right? So, I think Ann knew that. I think you're right. She was referring to the media, but I just want to point that one out, Nikhil.
yes, indeed. I am definitely on the side of police, no doubt. 855-839-1210. Hour two is on the way. We'll get some news from Dawn to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. More of your calls, and then we'll pivot to a big Monday for Kamala Harris. Although I'm not buying the United Front. We'll explain on the other side. Kale and Company, hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.